Well, good morning, church. It is good being back with you guys. Of course, we were gone last week, but I've heard so much about David and his story from last week. And you know, I was excited about him coming and talking to us because of what I felt God was telling me that our church needs to focus on here at the beginning of the year is this understanding that coming into the presence of God, you know, coming into God's presence has the ability to change how we experience life. And David, you know, perfect example. I mean, if you just get your brain around someone that was in the middle of a horrific church shooting, was shot 8 times, and was left for dead, and then to come out on the other side of that experience going, I want to share more about how much God loves you. And you just think that, how do those two things go together? I would think that someone in that experience would say, God didn't love me, that God didn't care, that God allowed but there was something in David, and I think there's something in all of us that has the ability to not look at circumstances in life and judge God by that, but to look at God and judge our circumstances by that. And that's where, like I said, the beautiful testimony that David gave last week just really filled my heart. This idea of experiencing God's presence, a few weeks ago we started that. Some basic things I said is scripturally we look and it talks a lot about being in the presence of God. It says in the presence of God we'll get rest, we'll get joy, we'll feel like we have a refuge to run into, we will have quietness in our life, we will have times of refreshing, we will receive mercy and grace to live our life. So all this comes from this thought of, I want to be in the presence of God. Now the question is, and the question that we want to look at over the next few weeks is, how do you practice that? How do you always get that ability to be in the presence of God? How does that become second nature to us? So like when something bad happens in our life, we don't, once again, judge God by the circumstance, but we are so used to being in the presence of God, we can bring that picture into it. The first thing I said last week is we got to understand that God is spirit. And we looked at that wonderful verse in the Psalms that says God is spirit. Actually, this one is in John. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. And understanding that idea that God is spirit. So if you have some sermon notes, that's your first blank again, just to remind us where we are. If we want to understand how to experience God's presence, we have to get this down. God is spirit. Now, I'll go ahead and brag a little bit on somebody. Y'all should have been here Friday night. Hiro had just felt God leading him to have a night of worship for teenagers on a Friday night. And so he put out Facebook ads. He invited people, invited different churches. And on Friday night, there were about 50 adults and teenagers. Yeah, amen. In our youth building, worshiping God, reading scriptures, fellowshipping on a Friday night. And it was neat to see that. Hiro kind of came up with a name of it called the Well at Waller. And that's that scripture I was just talking about. At the well in the Bible, it's in John 4:23-24. Jesus says, yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. So that you must worship God in spirit. But here's the big question, right? How do you do that? What does that even mean that Jesus says, here's how you connect with God. Because before in that story, the lady at the well said, hey, you Jews worship God up on the mountain. We worship God down here. And Jesus said, no, it's not about a physical place. It's about a spiritual connection with God. So how do you do that? So to do that today, I want to just kind of walk you through something I've walked you through before. But it's one of those things that as Christians, if we don't understand, you know, this basic understanding of who we are, how we're created, then when we hit a verse like we need to worship God in spirit, it makes it a little bit more difficult. So this is how I explain it. God created each one of us with three parts. One of them is very simple. We can look around right now and see that God has created us with this flesh, this earth suit, this body that we have. Now, it's a very important thing that God gave us, right? It's how we experience this world. We experience, you know, God gave us eyes so we can see things, ears so that we can hear things. We have the ability to taste and touch. God gave us a physical body so that we could interact with a physical world. So I'm glad. Now, obviously, the body isn't the only thing that God made us. He gave us this thing we call a soul. It's your mind, will, and emotions. Your mind, your will, and emotions. It's how you interpret, right, what you see with your physical body. What I can touch this, and my mind understands that it's kind of cold, it's kind of round, it's kind of smooth. I have the ability to think. It's my personality. That's part of my soul. What we do know, just from those two things, is one of those things is temporary, the body. The soul is part of us that is eternal. We'll continue our ability to have a mind, will, and emotion on into heaven, on into the spiritual world. But right now, that soul helps not only to allow me to interpret what happens in the physical world, But it also helps me to make choices, right? I need to choose to do some things. I choose how I interact with the world. Now here's the part that a lot of us, it's just hard to get your arms around. Not only are we body, not only are we soul, the mind, will, and emotion, but we're also spirit. Spirit is the third one. Body, soul, spirit. We'll just say where my thumbs cross is the soul part, the mind, will, and emotion, and a spiritual part and a physical part. Now, it's easy to tell you what the physical part is, right? Because that's what we experience. We've been experiencing it since the day the doctor whapped us on the backside and we cried out as a baby. We have easily experienced what it means to live in a physical world. What's harder is the spiritual world. Because this is what Scripture tells us, that when God created Adam and Eve, He created them like we are, body, soul, spirit, and it was all working together at that time in the Garden of Eden. You know, this ability, I don't know what it's like, but Adam and Eve had just as much understanding of the spiritual part as they did the physical part. But then a choice was made in the soul, right? The mind, will, and emotion of Eve chose to listen to a lie, and she ate of the fruit. And if y'all remember, in the Bible it said, Eve said, well, if I eat of that, I will surely die. Now, she ate of it, but she didn't die physically. She didn't die physically. And if you read that just with the physical in mind, you kind of go, well, she was wrong, you know. She ate the fruit. She had to wear clothes from then on. She had to, you know, bear children. They had to work the fields. But death did not happen to Adam and Eve when they sinned against God. If we just look at the physical realm, but it wasn't just physical; it was spiritual. And when she bit into that apple, when she chose her own way instead of God's way, when she sinned, the Bible tells us that that spiritual part died. And being of the line of Adam and Eve, we all enter this world with a live body, a live soul, mind, will, and emotion, but a dead spirit. A dead spirit. And so we spend so much of our lives going, how do I live my life? Well, I've got to take care of the physical. I got to get food. I got to protect this physical body. I've got to make sure I've got air. I've got to make sure I have relationships. You know, we're pretty selfish. You know, I guess I always think about that airplane when they say, you know, the mask drops and please, put yours on before you put it on your child. I never question that. I'm going to get it and get it on and then get it on my child. There's just something that we want to protect this physical body that we have. But then there's something about God that said, I'm not happy with the fact that I'm spirit, God's spirit, and people cannot experience getting close to me because they have dead spirits. And so this is where at salvation, and we come back to this line that Jesus said is, a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will be able to worship the Father in spirit. He said something is fixing to happen where you're going to be able to start living in a spiritual realm as well as a physical realm. And so we know at salvation, the thought is, when we ask Jesus in our life, our spirit comes back to life. Now this is where we get things like we want to walk in the Spirit. We want to be filled in the Spirit. It's this thought of, we've got this physical world, but we want to start learning what it means to be a spiritual being also now that it's alive. Now it's kind of like a baby. I kind of picture it. You know, we have a live spirit, but that live spirit really doesn't know what to do. So God said, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. And my Holy Spirit is going to walk with you and help you to start depending and let this little baby spirit you got right now start growing and maturing and allowing you to experience things spiritually as well as physically. So we come back to that thought again. How do you do that? Here's what I know. It's easier to experience life in the physical than it is in the spiritual for us because we're used to it. Remember a time, and I'll use it as an example. I was a youth pastor, and as Jairo knows, a lot of times, you know, you want to pep everybody up, and you're yelling, and you're screaming, and I had worked summer camps, 10, 12-week-long summer camps at the end of my seminary time where I was just screaming and yelling all the time, and getting everybody pumped up. And then I became a youth pastor, and I was still screaming and yelling, pump everybody up. And we just finished a disciple now, screaming, come on, guys, let's do it. And my voice got hoarse. And I went, oh, well, you know, I've had hoarse throat before, you know, give it a week, and it'll be back up to strength. And so I waited a week, and my voice was still just gone, kind of like that. 2 weeks, still gone. 3 weeks, starting to get a little worried now. Hard to be a youth pastor when you can't talk. I damaged my vocal cords. They put this thing, I don't know if you ever had this experience, where they stick something up your nose. Do you know your nose is connected to the back of your throat? It's really odd. Yeah. Let's put this thing, and they checked out the cords. They said, well, you know, we don't know how long it's going to take. They'll come back, but if you do this kind of thing and you do that kind of thing. So it was, Rebecca, what, year? Yeah, a year process where... And here's what happened in that year process of me not having a voice. I found out if I wanted to project when I don't have a voice, if I went into a falsetto, you can get really loud even when you don't have a voice. Now you're laughing, but that's, you know, I had to teach the kids, you know, I had to yell at my children that were little babies back then, you know, I had, and so my voice just got higher and higher so that I could, boy, did you know how loud restaurants are? It is, you know, until I lost my voice, I never realized how loud restaurants and cars are. Those two things, you elevate your voice when you're in those situations without even knowing it. But when you lost your, am I really going high then to get people to hear me? Well, one day, you know, like I said, you know, they just said it'll heal and it'll come back. About a year later, I'm out and the dog runs away from me. And for some reason, just naturally, I went, come back. And my voice was there. And it was in a regular tone. And I said, oh my goodness, you know, my voice is back. Now, a couple of things that I know from that is, number one, I'm not sure when it really came back. Because I had gotten into this habit of speaking in a high tone and never even dropping back down to my regular tone because I didn't think it would work. So I just started living my new normal, right? My new normal was I talk like that. Even after I knew it came back, it took me a month or two of intentionally making myself drop that tone, even though that's the way I'm supposed to talk, that is natural. It had just been a year of me using that high voice that it took me some time to fall back into the way God made me. Now this is what I'm saying with our physical and our spirit. We get saved, and we think, okay, that's it. I got my spirit back alive. But if we never intentionally start leaning into the spiritual side, we'll just stay the way we were before. Just, we'll have a live spirit, but it won't do us any good. We'll just keep, you know, living life like the physical is the only thing that matters. So as a Christian, if God is spirit and we want to be in the presence of God, what we have to realize is we have to take this little baby spirit that we've got inside of us and start finding ways to strengthen it, finding ways to walk in it, finding ways to intentionally tell ourselves, no, it's not just about the physical world. It's not just about what I see. There is a spiritual realm, and I'm going to continue to tell myself, I'm going to continue to drop my voice back down into the spiritual speaking that I'm supposed to do. So how do we do that? Let me first just tell you how we don't do that, because this is something that we do a lot. I want to be a better Christian. And we go, how can I work to be a better Christian, right? I want to be more spiritual. I want to be a better church person. And we just go, what can I do? You know, I'm going to read my Bible, and I'm going to go to church, and then I'm going to help people, and all those things are good, but you know, I come back to that story of Mary and Martha, verse 38 Luke verse, yeah, there we go. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, they came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work myself? Tell her to help me. This is a great picture that Mary, you know, she wanted an experience with Jesus, but what she saw was the physical things that needed to be done. You know, we got to eat. We got to have a clean house. We've got to take care of things. But Mary, she had a different idea. And so here it is in 41. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Now that doesn't mean work is not important. That doesn't mean that what she was doing wasn't important. But he said, listen, there is a important things to do, and then there are needs, right? And those are separate. You know, I need to breathe. I also need to take care of my money. You know, both of those are important, but the breathing, if I don't get that right, there's not going to be any money to take care of. You know, you need to do, take care of your family. I mean, there's needs. There are things that you have to do or everything else doesn't matter. And he said, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. And watch this. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. It was that choice. In that same way, that's kind of that view God wants us to have, is that we've got to choose the spiritual over the physical. I wrote down, working for God's approval doesn't necessarily bring us into God's presence. There's a lot of people in church that work, 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 but they have trouble experiencing God's presence because it's almost like it's a genie. You know, if I read my Bible, if I pray, then God will help me. God will be with me. God will be present. And a lot of times, in their mind, what that means is my life will be better. I won't have all this hard stuff to go through. But what we know is as we choose the spiritual part of just being at Jesus' feet, finding ways to be at Jesus' feet rather than working, then suddenly that presence of God doesn't change what we're going through, but it overlaps it. And it brings that rest and refreshing in the middle of hard times. So what is the correct way? How do we position our mind to walk into the presence of God? I'm going to go back to a verse that I used at Thanksgiving. Psalms 100 is just a great verse. You know, David was just a man after God's own heart, was how the Bible described him. And in Psalms 100, it says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." And then watch this. "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, and give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever and his faithfulness continues through all generations." So here's David, and he just said, listen, if you want to reacclimate yourself to the spiritual part of yourself, if you want to reacclimate every day to that presence of God in your life, he said, this is how you enter his gates. This is what puts you in position. Definitely you need to be reading scripture. You know, definitely you need to be studying the Bible. Definitely you need to be praying. But if you do that outside of this entering the gate part, if you just do that as a work, then it's going to have a limited ability to really affect you. But when you enter his gates and then do your Bible study and then pray. And so it was just two things that David said that you need when you're entering to God's gate. It's one, uninhibited worship. Uninhibited worship. I wonder sometimes how there's no other place that I know of where we do education and music in the same, you know, situation. You know, you don't go to school and half of the teaching is, let's sing some songs about chemistry, and now let me teach on chemistry, right? You know, you don't do that. You don't go to other places where singing is so important. And then you just kind of look at the church, and it's kind of unique there to say, hey, let's take half the service, less than half because I'm so long-winded, but half the service, and let's sing and praise God. You know, why? Because the thought for us is that if we don't enter into his gates, then all the teaching and scriptures we're going to get aren't going to be in the right perspective for us. And the thought is, I've got to get to that point where I just go, I just want to be with God. I'm not going to worry about my circumstances. I'm not going to worry about things happening in this physical realm. They're important. But the thing needed for me to get through the physical is for me to connect every day with the spiritual. And I put uninhibited because, I mean, look, number one, it says shout for joy. Shout for joy. It's so hard in this world to be uninhibited in church. Isn't it weird? How many of you have seen people uninhibited at a football game? Have you seen that? Yeah. I mean, we have that ability to be uninhibited at a football game because we're so excited about being a part of that you know, we just, this touchdown, and everybody, and clapping and turning around. But the Bible says that's that part of entering God's presence, is for us to get that picture in our mind that this isn't just, I'm going to mumble through some worship. But it's to be going, if I need to just be loud, I'm going to be loud. And guys, I'm sorry, I don't sing on key, so I try not to be too loud to throw you off. But we just need worship that where we just say, I'm not going to care about what people are looking at me. I'm not going to care about what the person beside me say. I want the spiritual. I don't want the physical. I don't care what the physical thinks about right now. I want the spiritual part of my life to grow so that I can enter into the presence of God. And it says, shout with joy. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come with Him in joyful songs. Listen, you can do that at home. You're right? I mean, every day, why not get some music that you like? I mean, the beautiful thing about these little telephones we have now is that you can have a worship playlist on there. And every morning, I suggest the shower is a great place to sing at the top of your lungs. Because anywhere else, people kind of think you're weird. But there's kind of an okay zone in the shower where you can sing loud. But sing loud. Praise hard. Find just that moment every day to say, I'm coming into your presence, God. I've got to get in there. And it's not just going to happen. You have to, what did he say? He said, Mary has chosen. And so every day you got to get up and say, I choose to enter into the gates of the Lord. And listen, I'm going to go with David. David said, sing. I'm not a good singer, but I'm going to sing. I think part of that is that worship, right? Until I understand who God is, I can't apply God into my life. If I try to apply some small little God into my big old problems, that doesn't affect my problems at all. But if every day I'm choosing to say, I worship the God who created the universe, I worship the God that knit together everyone in their mother's wombs. I worship a God that's bigger than the universe, that's outside of time, that's outside of anything. I worship, and suddenly I start getting a bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger picture of who God is. Now I take that spiritual, I got a big God, and I put it into my life. Yeah. And that changes things. And like I said, God, I hope I never go through a church shooting. But if I've got a big God, then when I get up from whatever problem I have, I'm going to be like David was and say, Satan, you tried to lie to me. But I worship a God in spirit. And this isn't important at all. This is important. Uninhibited worship. The next thing we see is enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Thanksgiving, overwhelming gratitude is how I said it. Overwhelming gratitude that I get to be in the presence of God every day. I don't know about you, but there's so many times I can really get down in the physical world I live in. I get down. My foot hurts. This is a pretty constant thing now. Money isn't right. Somebody was mean to me. My job is hard. And suddenly I am defined by this physical world and this depression that I focus on all the time. But here's what David is saying. He said, listen, you're in the presence of God. You just worship this great big God. Now, change your attitude to gratitude. Now get just gush with gratitude. God, you know, as I'm singing and worshiping, now I'm just going to say, thank you, God, that you placed me here. Thank you, God, for my wife and my children. Thank you for this job that I really don't like, but thank you for that. Thank you for the fact that I can still get up and walk even though my foot hurts. You know, thank you, God. Just find gratitude, gratitude, gratitude. Gratitude, and suddenly, right, you start leaning into the spiritual. You go, I'm not going to concentrate, but Blake, there's so many things to be unthankful for. No, I'm not going there. That's my natural inclination. What I'm going to do is I'm going to choose to worship God every day, and I'm going to, as much as I can, think of every possible thing that I could be grateful for every day. Suddenly, we start teaching ourselves to walk in that spirit. And when the hard times come, we don't instantly go to the negative. We instantly go to, listen, I don't know what's happening here, but praise God, He's good. He's good. Not because of my circumstances. He's good in spite of my circumstances. He's good. And as I lean more into the presence of God every day, it starts just flooding my life. And, you know, let's look at Acts 16, 22 through 26 to see it in practice. In 22, it says, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. And the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. And after they'd been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. And when he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. Okay, so physical world, spiritual world. Physical world, if I'm leaning into that, I'm looking at the physical problems I'm in. I just got beaten. I just got whipped. I just got thrown in the deepest part. I'm in chains, and more than likely tomorrow I will die. That's where Paul and Silas were right that moment. But the next line, it shows you that they were used to being in the presence of God. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Paul looked at Silas, you know, probably hurt from the beating he took, chains kind of there. He said, let's enter the gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. Let's enter God's courts with praise. And they just started singing at midnight. Now the good part of the story is suddenly there was such a violent earthquake, the foundations of the prison were shaken, and at once all the prison doors flew open, and everyone in chains came loose. And because we want to connect the two. We want to connect the two. We want to say that because they sang and prayed, God let them loose in the physical world. I don't believe that. I think God was going to let them loose in the physical world no matter what. I think He allowed them to know that it was Him who was letting them loose, and it wasn't some just vague little earthquake that let them loose. Yeah, I think, and the reason I say that is because what I know is the situation doesn't describe God. God describes the situation. So if Paul and Silas sang and prayed at midnight and were killed the next day, God is still good. Because it's a spiritual thing, it's not a physical thing. They said, I'm going to lean into God, and if God changes this, hallelujah, you know. But if He doesn't, listen, I am refreshed, I am at peace, I have all the faith I need as I spend my time in the spiritual part of who I am. It's not that if you suddenly have the presence of God, everything's going to get better. It works in that story. But Paul died. Silas died. All the disciples eventually were martyred. That meant at the time they were praising God at midnight, they still were martyred. And that doesn't change the fact that God is good. God is good. In fact, I love, I didn't put it in your notes, but I love that children's story we do, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you know, I love, in fact, it was part of one of the songs we sang right there, right? The fourth person in the fire. You know, and it's this beautiful song of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Won't bow down, won't worship a false god. So Nebuchadnezzar throws them into the fiery furnace. And if y'all remember the story, there's a fourth person that shows up, even though they were just threw three in. And he was shining like the Son of God. And all of a sudden, they walked out of this fiery furnace. But I love right before they threw him in the fiery furnace. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve, the God that we enter the presence of, the God that we know is there in our life, if we believe that the God we serve is able. Isn't that interesting how they said that? That not that he would. But they said, we worship a big God. Listen, we praise him every morning. We bring gratitude to him every morning. And so as I look at this current situation that I'm in, I know I have an able God that can get me out of the fiery furnace. I have an able God that can heal my foot. You have an able God that can help you through any situation. But watch what he says here. He said, he is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But 18, but even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of your gold you have set before us. It said, listen, we're not about rubbing the lamp and having God do something for us. We serve a God that's able to, but even if he doesn't, that's okay. Because we're not walking in the flesh. We're walking in the Spirit. We're walking daily with it. And we can get through whatever we can. You know, just kind of bring us home. I was thinking the other day, how much God desires us to seek him. How much he did to bring our spirit back to life. How much he just wants you and me every day to enter into his presence. How much he wants us to see his presence in the middle of our... How he desires that. And so, you know, that story of the prodigal son just came back to mind. It says, and I was just thinking, this must be God's perspective when we seek his presence. So the prodigal son got up and went to his father. After living in all that sin, after living in all, losing all his money, after being separated from his father, here's what the son said: I desire to be in my father's presence. And now, if you look at that story, he didn't think that his father, he said, I'll just be a slave in my father's house. I'm not expecting everything to suddenly get better. I just want to be in my father's presence. So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son and he threw his arms around him and kissed him. He said, the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. You know, this thought that God is like cheering us on. Spend time with me. Spend time with me. You know, quit focusing on this world and focus on me. And when we start that process, I just from that just see that God goes, here they come. Finally, here they come. Here they come in this spiritual sense of wanting my presence. And he just wraps his arms around. Says, you are my child. We were his child the whole time. But he said, you're going to experience what it's going to be like to be my child. And like I said, I think that's where we see people. like David, who experienced the presence of the Lord in the most horrible situation, but they come out of it with a robe on, with a ring on, saying, "Let me tell you how good God is." I want that for us, church. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, just thank you so much just for your word. And God, as a church, as we seek to be in your presence, as individuals, as we seek to be in your presence, God, give us perspective. Give us the perspective to know that we're in just a temporary situation, whatever situation it is we're dealing with. God, whether it's money or sickness or work or relationships, it's temporary, God. And the only thing we can do to make it through those dark valleys is to realize that you are there. Your presence is there to lead us. Father, your rod and your staff, they comfort us in those situations. God, help us to see with the spiritual part of ourselves how incredible you are. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, as we enter into a time of reflection, just to ask, maybe this is the point where you just say, I just want to sit for a minute and just think about how incredible God is. Just allow that connection with God while you're sitting here and music's playing. Maybe there's something that you're hurting right now and you need help in those areas. I've got some elders in the room. I'm down here. We'd love to pray with you. Kind of go together into the presence of God. Or as I always say, maybe God's saying something in your heart that, Blake, I still have a dead spirit. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I don't even know how to do that. We'd love to tell you how you can ask Jesus to come into your life and that spiritual part of you come alive. I'd love to tell you about that.